handle the truth. Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan. It is 11:30 a.m. on the East Coast on May 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. May the 3rd be with you. I plead the Third Amendment. Hello, everybody. Great to be here. Cookie, who no longer reacts as vigorously to when I start talking to myself for this podcast, we call that growth. We call that improvement. And if there's anything that this podcast stands for, it's those two things. Also, bitter rage. But now she just sort of perks her ears up and goes, oh, the fat, depressed man is talking to himself again. This does not concern me. So that's good. We like that Cookie is finally growing into her own as a podcast audience member. She was very enthusiastically greeting me yesterday, which was nice. I was in Boston. Well, not Boston. Marlboro, Massachusetts. A tidy 33-mile Lyft trip from Boston. We were staying in Boston because my nephew had a youth soccer game. He's a fairly elite eighth grade soccer talent, which we like to see. It's always good. His initials are JLC as well. So, you know, it only took him till age 14 to finally surpass his uncle as the superior JLC in the family. But we took the train to Boston. I used Amtrak points, which were very costly because my brother and sister-in-law waited till the last possible minute to confirm that we were going on this extravagant trip for one soccer game, till the last minute, so that the tickets were going to be as costly as possible. But they have a stressful life, and I don't blame them. But I'm placing blame, placing responsibility on them, but not necessarily blame. I'm blaming them. But then I had to book a hotel, so we got the Hyatt Regency in downtown Boston, which is near some of their financial buildings and right next to the theater district, which, much like Manhattan's theater district, is now not so much a theater district as in a rehearsal space for homeless people to reenact Michael Jackson's Thriller video. I have nothing but sympathy for the homeless, but you're still, when you're walking around with a 14-year-old who's so suburban and coddled. I thought I was a pussy piece of shit when I was a kid. But this kid, between COVID and just, you know, being an upper crust suburban kid, man, this dude sees a homeless person and I like step, you know, 5-6 feet away just to get some COVID and homeless social distancing. And then I look over my shoulder and my nephew's like in traffic, like 19 feet away. And I'm like, that's a little much, little fella. So we go to Boston, we take Amtrak, business class. You know, I got to upgrade to business class because my brother doesn't want his unvaccinated son anywhere near anybody, especially the riffraff in common, in the common cabins. We were in our own version of Snowpiercer. Of course, eight of you have seen Snowpiercer. The rest of you are going, I'm just going to wait till JL tells a joke that I get. The story of my comedy life. Let this be a lesson to any young comedians out there. Don't be knowledgeable. Don't be diverse in what you do. Find one thing to do and do it so that everybody gets it and you will be successful. Because what happens when you know more than people is that becomes a weapon against you. You become not as good a comedian because you aren't delivering the stupidity that people need. I'm talking to you, Jimmy Fallon. no, I'm actually not talking to Jimmy Fallon. I will never talk to Jimmy Fallon. And those of you who know what my 2020 was will know exactly why I will never talk to Jimmy Fallon. So keep fucking flicking the beans of 18-year-old TikTok stars, you fucking hack. Anyway, whoop, that woke Cookie up, and I think she's going to... Oh, she's sitting down because she thinks she's being scolded when I drop an F-bomb. But in a second, she's probably going to go into the bedroom, which is one of her many safe spaces afforded to her in this luxurious apartment compared to the studio I used to live in Midtown Manhattan. Anyway, guys, that was an unexpected outburst. But yes, not a fan of Jimmy Fallon for so many reasons. Anyway, not afraid of burning in hell. So we make it to we get into Boston. We walk by a bunch of homeless people. We get into the room, put our stuff down. Hotel was flooded. I don't know if this is a thing in Boston where like 20-something women just go to Boston together, rent a hotel room, and then go, I don't know, suck some COVID-free Boston beans. I don't know. It just felt like every group that I saw in the hotel was just like three or four young women dressed like ladies of the night. Sharing a room. And fortunately, our second night in the hotel, a loud group of these women were in the room next to us. And I was thinking to myself, Hyatt, this is not a full hotel. You're a hotel during COVID. It's not. There's no conventions here. There's no special events. So why did you have to put someone in the hotel room right next to us? They were loud. And I never complained or anything because I was like, they were loud, but within like reasonableness. They were just like, we're going to dinner, then we got to come back here and get changed and go out, blah. They were listening to their, you know, mumble rap music. And I had my nephew laughing because as it was pulsating through the adjoining door, I was doing my best version of a 2021 hip-hop dancer, which is really not dance. That's what's so great about it. And I've said this before, and I'm writing it into a bit. The key to art in 2020, 2021, is not talent, it's not uniqueness, it's accessibility and replicability. You want, if that's a word, you want something that everybody can do, because now art is not about celebrating the artist, it's how can I make this art about me? Hence why, not to belabor a point that has been belabored, hence why impressions are cool, but lip sync is better. Hence why Michael Jackson dancing is cool, but some dummy on Fallon doing 15 seconds of like gyrations to songs is better because then everybody can do it. And we call it a TikTok challenge, but what it really is TikTok for the intellectually challenged. That's really what TikTok challenges are. I'm doing the TikTok challenge. It doesn't seem that challenging. It's 15 seconds of copying the arm and head motions of someone on your phone. So I don't know how challenging that is, but that's just me being a grumpy old man. That I did find that funny this weekend. I didn't get to watch Bill Maher until Sunday when I got home, but I did notice every Saturday morning Bill Maher trends because he says something that offends somebody or bothers somebody, and people love to dunk on Bill Maher and claim they never watch Bill Maher, but yet they spend every Saturday morning bitching about Bill Maher. It's kind of a weird thing, but last week he went after Twitch. And of course, everybody was upset about that. And I like it when I see parents who clearly have kids that are into Twitch. And instead of just being honest and being like, hey, my kid likes it, but yeah, my kid's a dumb fuck. But I love him or her. But yeah, it's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. They have to like vociferously defend Twitch. Like, yeah, Bill Maher just doesn't get it. I don't even know. He's worthless. If my kid likes watching some Swedish racist do commentary on video games, that's, you just don't get the young people today, Bill Maher. So fuck you. Well, this week he ripped Bitcoin, which is, of course, another thing that people are like, you don't get it. And this is what people, elites, want to trash us for our Bitcoin. It's like, no, it's just stupid. And maybe you won't get caught holding the bag, but somebody will. And I guess if pulling one on, if it's the same, in a way, it's the same thing as what Wall Street has done for many years. And we criticize them, but somehow everybody doesn't think they're going to be the one who gets fucked with Bitcoin. So they're like, you don't get it. You're just, I'm making money on this. And then the purse, and eventually the music will stop, musical chairs will end, and somebody will be caught without a chair holding a bunch of worthless Bitcoin. That's sort of conventional wisdom, but nobody likes to hear that because nobody wants to hear that they're part of a environmentally destructive financial Ponzi scheme bullshit. They all want to think they're part of changing the world. And it's like, yeah, you might change your world. You might be the scammer that wins in this. That's certainly possible. And then you can proselytize about it for the rest of your life, about how you bought your double-wide trailer because you had fucking an incredible run with Bitcoin. But somebody someday is most likely going to be like, yeah, I bought this Bitcoin for $20 million and it's now worth an Apple. So we'll see. We'll see, folks. But I like seeing that every Saturday morning. Like, I don't watch Bill Maher, but I do spend every Saturday morning critiquing him because somehow it affects it. And it's weird. It's weird. I'm not even that big. I don't even like Bill Maher's show right now for this new season, but I have liked it in the past. And that doesn't mean I've agreed with everything, certainly. But I just, you know, I do think he's becoming a little bit of a cranky old man in some ways. And I don't enjoy that much. But it's like, I'm not going to act like I've never liked his program and like it doesn't have value or merit. But, you know, once again, I'm complaining about social media, and it's social media is dumb. I get it. But anyway, back to soccer. So we get up there. We have to find a place to eat. Five Guys was really the only place that we could get. So we brought Five Guys back to the hotel because my brother would not allow us to eat anywhere publicly because my nephew is not vaccinated. My brother, for reasons that I don't need to share, is very strict with as strict as he can be with protocols without turning his son into a boy in the bubble who's not allowed to do anything. And because soccer, he's very, very good at it. It's like me doing shows. Like if I wasn't a comedian trying to advance my career, I don't think I'd be doing anything like too much publicly, even though I'm vaccinated. Like, but it's now that I am vaccinated, it's like, well, I gotta try and work this somehow. So we go to sleep. We wake up the next morning. We get breakfast from the hotel, which with after tip was, for pancakes and an omelet and orange juice and a coffee, a tidy $61. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. You must have thought I ordered the Peter Luger's steak. I ordered pancakes, you fucking assholes. But I didn't say anything. You don't want to do what you don't want is for your nephew to feel guilty about anything. So you just go, okay, delicious pancakes. I mean, these pancakes are certainly $6 a pop worthy pancakes. so we eat that and then we get a Lyft. We got to order a Lyft. We got Shlomo picking us up. I did then write a bit over the weekend, sort of a cousin to one of my better known bits, mixed race slurs off of Thoughts and Prayers. And I thought to myself, the next level from mixed race slurs where I'm making up slurs is names that are kind of like slurs. Like if you said it sarcastically, you'd sound like you were being racist. For instance, the dog I walked as a kid in my building, Duchess, and I hope Cookie's closing her ears right now. Duchess is the greatest dog that has ever walked this earth. And I say that with kindness and respect. To Cookie Bear Covan, that's her full government name. But Duchess was the greatest dog I've ever encountered in movie, TV, random public encounters, or dog walking. The greatest dog. Just the best. The kind of dog, I've seen Golden Retriever, she was a Golden Retriever, which is where my affection, you know, my affection for Latin women started from a girlfriend, an early girlfriend in my dating life. And My love of golden retrievers started with an early interaction with dogs. That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you it's those early formative experiences that shape you, who you are as a person. And if you're looking to cancel me, no, I was not comparing Latino women to dogs. Okay, so and Latino women is also redundant. Latinx bitches. Okay, is that the proper political correct term? Anyway. The Duchess was the kind of dog, I've seen golden retrievers who are like almost like, you may pet me, and then they walk away. They just sort of understand somehow that they are beautiful creatures, and they're just like, yes, please pet me. Okay, are you done? I'm moving on with my business, thank you. Duchess was the type, she didn't pounce on you, she didn't jump on you, but if she saw you, she'd wiggle her tail, wiggle her body, come up to you, sit next to you. You pet her, and if you stopped petting her, she just gently put her head on your hand to basically say, come on, continue. And when her owner was on vacation and we would dog sit, Duchess would stay in my room. And then every so often, just in the middle of the night, I'd find her just kind of like milling about, and then she'd make eye contact with me and she'd like walk over to me. And I was just like, please pet me. And she never barked. She only whimpered when she saw her owner, like when her owner would come back. It was so funny because Duchess was the most calm dog, but when her owner would come back from vacation, whimpers and spinning and rolling on her back, and it was like, oh, look at that. See, so she always let her owner know how special her owner was above all other people, but to everybody else, she was very kind. But Duchess was the best. And it was very sad when she had to be put down. She was having hip problems, which happens a lot. And it's so sad when you see that, because she wanted to please, but she realized she would like look at you when you'd have to go for a walk, almost with this like, you know, I will obey you, but do we really have to do this? And when he brought her to put her down, she actually died before they could put her down. Like when she was just, you know, basically when they were discussing it with the doctor, she basically died. And I thought, oh, that's a beautiful, it's a sad end, but it's a beautiful end. Like she even spared her owner having to do it. Anyway, now that I'm sad thinking about Duchess, Duchess's owner's name, I won't say his last name, but he was a Jewish man, and his first name was Jaime. Now, anybody who lived in New York in the 80s know that Jesse Jackson got in big trouble when he referred to New York disparagingly, I guess, regarding the Jewish community as Jaime Town, because Jaime also operates as a sort of anti-Jewish slur. And I thought to myself, I started writing a joke about, you know, sometimes there's names that almost turned into Dave Chappelle, 2021 Dave Chappelle. Sometimes there are names that you don't want to say. It sounds racist, right? But I was thinking to myself, I'm like, meeting Jaime blank, and it's like, hi, Mr. So-and-so. Oh, you can call me Jaime. I'm not sure I can. I think that's your word. And I thought of other names, like Shlomo is a real name, but I'm like, doesn't that sound like if I was just mad at Shlomo, I was like, okay, Shlomo. Then all of a sudden it's like, wait, is that his real name? Or are you just kind of taking like some European Jewish name and trying to make it sound like an insult? So then I just started rattling off names, and I was like, Shaniqua is a perfect example. There are women named Shaniqua, but it's also somehow, if you ever called a black woman who wasn't named Shaniqua, Shaniqua, it immediately sounds racist. It immediately, like, okay, Shaniqua, whatever you say. It's like, what did you call me? But yet again, there are women actually named Shaniqua. So then what if you get mad at a woman named Shaniqua and you're like, oh, can you shut the fuck up, Shaniqua? It's like, excuse, like you said, you, then people would be like, is her name actually Shaniqua or is he being racist? Like there are certain names like that. And I thought that's a funny kind of cousin bit to potentially develop. So I'm glad I got to walk down memory lane with Duchess, who only growled if you tried to take her tennis ball. So she had her code and she lived by it. If she never played fetch, she wanted to run after tennis balls. And once she got it, she would lie down wherever she was and like put it between her paws like, I got you, my friend. And then if you came near her and she thought you were going for a tennis ball, she would just go, rrr. But she never bit. She never attacked. She was the best. She is the best. If I truly believe that Duchess is the greatest dog that has ever lived. And I would venture that. I would put her up against any dog, including my own. And I'm sorry to say that, Cookie Bear, but it's true. Anyway... So that was a bit I thought while I was on this soccer trip. I said, that's funny. Names that are easily convertible to racial slurs. So we'll see. That'll probably, some people probably won't get it and it'll offend some people. And, you know, that's comedy today, which is why I feel like 2021 will, oddly enough, will probably be the last year I ever do comedy. I think I will just write a book about comedy. It will sell poorly, but it'll be well reviewed by like 2 reviews. And that'll be the end of my entertainment career, but not afraid of burning in hell. So then we make it to the game, and a lot of these youth soccer games, these leagues, they manage, it's like we were on this beautiful field at this private middle school that basically looked like a small college campus. Now, I went to a ritzy private school, so I'm well-versed in these places, but it was kind of crazy. You're just like, wow, this middle school has like 6 tennis courts, personalized buses. They look like tour buses for a band, except the band is 8th graders. Beautiful grounds, beautiful, really, really beautiful looking school. And, but it's in the middle of fucking nowhere because in America, we are a car culture. And walking is, you know, just, you know, something our ancestors apparently did. So I'm trying to say, I'm like, oh, I didn't realize we'd be in the middle of fucking nowhere. I'm hungry. Those pancakes aren't going to hold me all day. We won't be leaving here till 4 p.m. It's currently 12:15 and I ate 3 hours ago. I am a growing boy. These diabetes aren't going to happen on their own. So I'm standing on the field and I just said, okay, I'm gonna try this DoorDash. I've never used DoorDash. So I ordered DoorDash, Wendy's. And for a tidy $17, I got $6 worth of Wendy's food delivered to me at the field. And I thought, wow, that is why these apps are so popular. And everybody can be a king. Wherever you are in America, there is some third world immigrant desperate to just live who will bring you fast food to wherever you are. So that's, you know, I'm going to start a new service, which is like, grapes and fans, and it's like your own grape and fan slave will deliver you grapes and fan you wherever you are, and I bet you that would do well for like 3 weeks until apps refuse to host it, and then I'd have to, you know, go on Parler and advertise it there. Anyway, I also had a great joke on Saturday. I saw that Caitlyn Jenner was saying that trans girls should not play sports or should not compete against other cisgendered girls. And I referred to her as Trandis Owens. And I thought that's probably the best wordplay I've had all year so far. I was hoping that would go viral. It didn't. It got like 280 likes on Twitter. So there you go. Just more platinum level comedy getting the aluminum foil treatment. So, watch the game. My nephew had a beautiful corner kick assist. And it is funny to see, like, you know, I remember a few years ago playing soccer with my nephew and he kicked the ball. And I was like, ooh, kick's getting pretty strong. But now you see him and he's kicking it like a hot, it's weird because he still looks like a little kid to me, but all of a sudden he's booting it with high school power. They lost though. They lost 3-2 in this field in the middle of nowhere, which is where all these games always are. I'm like, doesn't anybody like to snack? And it's like, no, people will just get in their gas-guzzling machine and drive 5 minutes to pick up $8 of food. And it didn't save anything. I still had to get a guy to get in his car to deliver me food. But I gave him an extra tip. You know, that's how I am. That's I'm a benevolent slave master, okay? When they write the history books, when they write the 2019 project, okay, about how we all became quasi-slave owners of menial laborers, they will refer to me as a good menial labor slave owner in the DoorDash era. He always treated his DoorDash slaves kindly, and he would give them extra tips so that they could go home and enjoy extra snacks with their families. They weren't all bad. JL was a nice DoorDash slave owner. The 2019 project title. Possibly. So he loses 3-2. The team loses 3-2, but my nephew's plus minus was plus 1 because while he was on the field, he entered the game when they were down 1-0. When he left the game, it was 2-2. And I thought to myself, that's pretty good. So his team outscored the other team 2-1, including a dope assist from him. So I thought, okay, that's pretty good. At least we can hang our hats on that. So then we got back to Boston. We ordered another Lyft. And the Lyfts, you know, good thing Uncle JL had a big 2020, you know, because, hey, ain't no thing. Round trip Amtrak tickets, two nights in a downtown Boston hotel, $143 between two Lyft rides. There's no price you can put on taking your nephew to one soccer game that he loses. Is there? I'm talking to all you aunts, uncles. There's no price you can put on that. So what if it cost me 10% of my decade worth of accumulated Amtrak points? Two nights in a Hyatt to hear young women yelling, and you're having the thought going, you know what, I'm now at an age where the only reason one of those young hot chicks would be into me is if they had an issue. This is what happens with the comedian mind, I think, I shouldn't say the comedian mind, the comedic genius mind, okay? I want to separate the wheat from the chaff here, is that it just never stops now. I'm always thinking jokes. I'm like, Shlomo, that sounds like a racist thing that you'd say about a Jewish person. Well, then let's do a bit on that. Remember the dog? Remember Duchess? Her owner had a racist name, if you say it the right way. And then you start thinking, oh, listen to those young women. And you're like, you feel young in your head, and you're like, oh, I'm an out of shape guy. I got some gray hairs. I'm walking around with my nephew. No, the only way one of these chicks would see me and be like, ugh, is if they are deeply damaged goods. So, it's the Groucho Marx version applied to my dick. It's never join a club that would have you as a member. That's where I'm at now in terms of, but you know what? We're hitting the gym today. We're hitting the gym. We're eating right. And guess what? In 8 months, I'm going to drop 70 pounds, and all of a sudden, I'll be that asshole in his 40s who now thinks because he's in shape again that he's 27. No, I have enough perspective, folks, that I'm not going to think that way. It'll probably just be more off-putting and weird when people are like, wow, like for a nice, tall, fit, funny guy, you sure are a miserable 70-year-old. Fuck you, JL. So that's what I'm looking for. That's 2022, not the year of JL fucking, but the year of fuck you, JL. How about that? Anyway, so they lose a soccer game. We go to bed. The ladies next door arrive at like midnight, wake us up for 2 hours. But that's okay because we're taking the 6:35 a.m. train out of Boston back to Newark, New Jersey. And, so I got a good 4 hours sleep. Had a throbbing headache all Sunday, but got home, was greeted by Cookie. She was whimpering. She peed on the floor, which is like, I feel like that's the version of giving a dog an orgasm. Like, I'm like, keep it down, Cookie. Our neighbors are going to hear us. But it's so funny when she pees because she knows that that's wrong. And I feel so bad because she's so happy to see me. And then she immediately, the ears flop down, her head gets small. She slinks away because she's like, oh no, I got too excited. And now I did the bad thing. But Cookie's a squirter, apparently, folks. So we got home. It was good bonding though with my nephew. And the only thing I wrote down another bit, he's one of these four-wheel suitcase pusses, which is they're everywhere. I don't mean to make him sound bad. They're everywhere. Everybody's got their four-wheel suitcase now. I was carrying a backpack and like a handbag, but my Samsonite set comes with a suitcase and then like, you know, the bag that you'd kind of put underwear, toiletries, like a couple of things. That's my like 3-day travel bag. Anything more than that, or if I'm going far, gets the suitcase treatment. But he was just like, why are you carrying a duffel bag? I was like, first of all, this is not a duffel bag. And secondly, because I'm a man, okay? I'm a man, and I like to have. I don't want to be at the whim of my suitcase controlling my movement. And he's just like, and he's got his the four-wheel suitcase, folks. I hate the four-wheel suitcase. First of all, I hated people in law school. Hate is a strong word. Hated this about them, in a jokey way. But the I have my backpack on wheels. And you can always have an excuse like, oh, it's better for your back. It's like, yes, having somebody carry your books is also better for your back. But just grow up and get some shoulders and put your books in your backpack and throw. No, you're going, you look like you're always headed for a flight somewhere when you're just going from class to class. Well, now this is more common. And then the suitcase, it used to be you get two wheels on the suitcase, but that was too difficult. Now you can push your suitcase. My suitcase does exactly what I wanted to. I push it forward or back. You know, this is just one of those little signs where you're like, okay, yeah, everything has to be of the utmost convenience. So we're never going to, now you push your suit. It's too much for me. It's too much. And then it's one thing, I was going to let him live with his suitcase, four-wheel suitcase, but then he's calling me out for having a bag as if I'm the one doing the wrong thing. And that's always bothered me. It goes back to, if you hear on Keep My Enemies Closer, my appetite, even though it was my fourth album, that could be considered my appetite for destruction in Guns N' Roses analogies. And one of the things that was stemming from that, because I remember I did a bit in Hoboken probably a year before that album, or whenever Ben Roethlisberger was having his rape troubles. And that was like big news. That wasn't just sports news. And I was talking about one of my jokes. It was during Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I said, hey, Ben, hey, NFL, instead of wearing pink during October to raise breast cancer awareness, why not just have your players not rape people with breasts? And this one mildly attractive blonde in the back was probably, if I was, I don't know, 30 at the time, she was probably 23. And it was one of these like, I don't know. And I was like, what? I don't let it, as you can see on Twitter, I don't let anything go when it comes to comedy. And she goes, no, whatever, like tell your football jokes. And I was like, oh, it's on the front page of newspapers. It's not just a football joke, but thank you. Thank you for making me the bad guy when it's your ignorance that's actually at fault. And I remember during my Keep My Enemies Closer, I made a reference to The Godfather. Now, it wasn't the most famous quote from The Godfather. It wasn't make him an offer he can't refuse. But it was about the scene I was referring to. Something race-related, and I said, it's like the guy in The Godfather said, leave it in the dark people, they're animals anyway. This is during the big summit over getting Michael back to the States, and Don Corleone gives his big, if he should be struck by a bolt of lightning, I'm going to blame some of the people in this room, and that I do not forgive. That speech. And I had already referenced The Godfather. Now, I saw one woman in the crowd give like a, okay, I don't get that. And I had to say something mid-recording because it was just one of those things like, if I reference The Godfather and you don't know the quote, that's okay. But if you act like I'm an asshole for referencing The Godfather because you don't know it, now that's on you. If somebody quotes a Shakespeare play that I haven't read, though I've read many, not afraid of burning in English literature hell, I'm not going to go, okay, Shakespeare, I guess. I'm going to go, oh yeah, sure, Shakespeare. I don't know that play, but I'm also not going to call you out for quoting Shakespeare. Unless you're Dennis Miller and you're quoting like from some obscure unpublished folio just to show off that you're smart and well-read. Then I will roll my eyes. But outside of that, I'll just go, oh yeah, Shakespeare. All right, well, I'll wait till the next reference I get. But I know that that's a significant cultural reference. Thank you. But yeah, when he was calling me out for just having a bag, I was like, this is what big people can do. We can carry bags. We don't need to be wheeling everything like we're precious. Anyway, now I sound like Bill Maher. Fuck Twitch and fuck Bitcoin. So that ended that. So yesterday I came home and I watched two episodes of Mr. Mercedes. Now this is based on a trilogy that Stephen King wrote and I'm five episodes into season one. It's on Peacock and it's one of the few things on Peacock that I was genuinely interested in. The John Wayne Gacy series was also something. But so far I really like it. I think it's a very strong adaptation of the book so far. Brendan Gleeson plays the main character. You'd recognize him if you saw him from many, many different things. But he is so, I think when I was reading Mr. Mercedes, which is the first in the trilogy. I think when I was reading Mr. Mercedes, I literally was thinking, Brendan Gleeson. This sounds like Brendan Gleeson, like just physicality, that they were gruff physicality. But so far, I'm 5 episodes in, and it's got enough, like, it's a little comic relief. Jarell Jerome is one of the main people, but this is, like, this first season, I think, was from at least 4 or 5 years ago. I'm hoping they didn't stretch it beyond 3 seasons. I'm hoping, like, each season represents a book, because the better way to replicate things is to not do the Hunger Games Hobbit thing, where you try to, like, destroy a book for profit and make, like, a 40-hour series out of a, you know, a 200-page book. But I don't know if there's going to be a 4th season, but the 3rd season just went up on Peacock. But 5 episodes in, it's 30, you know, the 3 seasons, it's 10 episodes a season. So far, I know everybody's talking about Invincibles and other things, which I have on my list to watch. And I'm trying to avoid spoilers or stuff. But if anybody out there is looking for something a little different that's maybe not getting a lot of hype, so far, I'm very much enjoying Mr. Mercedes. And this is somebody who read the book. So I feel like it's got a strong cast, and but I think the first season or two was on, like, DirecTV exclusively, and then I guess Peacock bought it and put up the 3rd season. Maybe they got the rights to it or whatever. Small recommendation. Who gives a shit? I will be watching Tenet this weekend because it just went up on HBO. So I will be watching that this week. I think I said weekend, but I will be watching it sometime this week. I'm looking forward to that, even though I hear it's confusing. And it's not going to be as good as Inception, I'm sure, because it has John David Washington. And I have referred to him as the, in my tweet drafts, because I didn't want that smoke. But I said, he's the Frank Sinatra Jr. to Denzel Washington's Frank Sinatra. Like, I just, man, it's... a friend of mine, Luke Cunningham, who's now a published author, by the way, if you have any, Leo, I think the book is called Leo, a little too young for my nephew, who's a super genius at 14. But it's kind of, I think, like a 10 to 12 year, but I think it's called Leo. I should have the title. But anyway, Luke Cunningham, he just published his first sort of young adult novel, and I think got some good reviews. He used to be a writer for Jimmy Fallon, actually, so I don't hold that against him. Not afraid of burning an unbooked hell. But he had a joke for a while about Jacob Dylan, the lead singer of the Wallflowers, getting into music and being like, why would you get into a field where your father is a legend? Now, I must say, I actually enjoy that debut Wallflowers album a ton. But it was still, people still laughed at it, because obviously Bob Dylan is sort of an iconic music legend. And I feel the same way about John David Washington. Except I don't like his acting that much. So I'm always like, I don't even know if you're that good. Like, at least the Wallflowers are like, we did sell like 8 million albums of our debut and had like multiple top 10 hits. So, but John David Washington, the Frank Sinatra to Jr. of acting, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, Tenet though, looking forward to it. I did want to see it in the theaters, but obviously that stopped because everything stopped. But yeah, Mr. Mercedes, if any of you out there, I know Peacock is free, and I think the first 2 seasons are available through the free download. I guess you get commercials with that, but it is free. I have the premium, no commercials ever, and all seasons available to me, because last year I had a lot of money and said, I'll buy streaming services the way rap artists buy lap dances at strip clubs. I am just going to throw money around willy-nilly and figure it out with my accountant later. So, also, I had a gig. My first gig, guys, was last Tuesday. First gig back. I wrote up my first road comedy recap in a year and a half. Felt good to get back to those. And it feels good because so many people who obviously didn't know me in 2019 can now sort of follow my career in all its aspects. You can see video clips, you can come to shows, and then you can read the recaps. So that's up at my blog. It's the most recent blog post, so it's right there. So read about it. They're usually funny and also just give you a little glimpse into what the fuck road comedy is like. Let's see. So there's that. Good news is no herd immunity coming for Americans, folks. That's right. Thanks to vaccine hesitancy and all sorts of other stupid shit that we do in this country in the name of freedom, because freedom now just means I have no agency. My life didn't turn out how I wanted. So the only way I can feel powerful and American is to fuck things up. You know, it's sort of the equivalent, like freedom, of course, is important and a bedrock of our society. But a lot of the people who talk about freedom, they really just mean I want to feel important, so I'm going to fuck something up. And that way I feel like if I just wear a mask, it's the same reason I think sometimes you have like people pull upsets in elections like Trump. If I just vote for the favorite candidate, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going on. But if I vote for someone else and they win, I can feel like I was part of a change movement, and that makes me feel more important. When it's really like, no, you're just fucking things up, and that's your only way of feeling important. Instead of doing the right thing, you feel some kind of agency and independence by doing the wrong thing. So if you wear a mask, you're sheeple. I'm not wearing a mask. Yes, it might cause death and sickness, but I'm being me. Whereas if I just do everything else, nobody gives me credit. Nobody interviews me for the New York Times. I'm just somebody who's doing the right thing. And then I have to look at the rest of my life and say, what the fuck am I doing? I make no impact. I don't have value. That's not true. I think all human life has value, of course, but that's the way you feel. And if you're a piece of shit and turn villain with that attitude, you go, I want freedom. Okay, I wish they would do vaccine passports. I wish all private businesses would require vaccination. So then you can stand outside the concert protesting with all your other stupid people, hopefully giving each other COVID. And I kind of don't wish that. That's the sad thing. It's easy to say that, but I don't really wish that. But it also feels like that's the only way for people to understand. But as we saw with Donald Trump, he still used defeating COVID, you know, having 500 doctors help his fat, wheezing ass beat COVID. He used that as a weapon to say, not so bad. Look at me. I took my mask off on the White House balcony. So in a weird way, him getting COVID, you know, only would have done something if it had killed him. But because it didn't, he managed to just, he has no humility and no shared values. So it was just like, look, I beat it. Nothing to worry about. Which is kind of worse than not getting it at all in terms of messaging. So, you know, it'd be nice if we could get herd immunity, but it looks like we'll just have to keep getting vaccines for the next 6 months because too many people feel that fucking up society is deep down their only way of mattering. It's their only way of feeling alive and feeling like they're doing something with their life is to say, no, thanks. I'm going to wait. I'm going to embrace life. And then you have those religious idiots. And you know me, this isn't an attack on religion, but it is on that strain, that viral strain of religion known as the evangelical conservative Christian that walks around going, if the Lord wants me to get it, then I'll get it and we'll see what happens. And it's like, really? That's what the Lord wants? The Lord wants you to test. Thou shalt not test your God. How about that? Oh, wait, no, that's, I think that's, well, no, that isn't that, no, I feel like that was Jesus saying that. And he's sort of the cuck of the Bible in evangelical conservative circles. He's sort of, you know, he's the beta cuck of Christianity, according to the conservative Christians. Sure, they like to say Christians, but what they really mean is vicious Old Testament ignoramuses. But so we're going to be stuck with it, it seems, because too many people, their only way to feel alive and have value deep down inside is to be contrarian. Whether they think it's the right thing, it makes them feel valued. And I always laugh at that when it's the same people that will say slavery was a long time ago, not everything's racist, we'll put their feelings based on so much more fiction, whether it's you stole the election and I don't want the coronavirus, I don't want the vaccine. Those people will live in their feelings all day long based on pure fiction, whereas when you present them with, they get very data driven when it comes to like police violence against black people or wealth inequality. They parse the data for any inconsistency that they can find or anything to hang their hat on. They become very strong with that. But when it comes to things that bother them, they are all in their feelings. They're all about, like, Donald Trump is the most feelings elected president in history, because it was like, but those feelings, conservatives view white feelings as valuable and central to the American experience, whereas the feelings of other people, well, you should be working on data, not feelings. And then when you present with them with some convincing data, they go, well, what about this one study by this one paid for conservative who says that actually the data doesn't support that? They will get deep in the data to try and disprove real problems. But when it comes to their problems, it's enough to say, I'm white, I'm faux Christian, I don't like certain things, I feel unimportant, and therefore I'm placing my need to feel important above the health, safety, and welfare of the general American population. So we're fucked. This Trump symptom of a disease known as sad and useless white people that is infecting America is here to stay. And it's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun time with President DeSantis in 2024, Vice President Kristi Noem. And then we're going to look for The Rock to save us in 2028. What a dumb fucking future we have. But I'm on the front lines dealing with comedy, and I see where we're headed, folks. I see where we're headed as a country. So it's, in the words of Bill Murray in Ghostbusters, so be good, for goodness sake. Oh, somebody's coming. Now, see that, guys? I didn't even do the shameless plugs till now. So please don't hang up. Don't stop listening. Don't delete. Please listen. Important stuff. Next week, this week, by the way, if you listen to this Tuesday and you're in New York City, the 13th step. All gigs that I have currently are on my website with all ticket or reservation links presently on my website. So you just have to go to jlcomedy.com, calendar, and you can find the ticket link there. But tonight I'm at the 13th step in Manhattan. I found out this weekend Roy Wood Jr. is on the show. So that'll be exciting. That alone, me and Roy Wood Jr., come on, between us, we have, like 19, late night credits. But he's great. He'll be there. I'll be there. Friday, I'm in Newark, New Jersey, headlining a show in Newark. So if you're a Jersey person listening to this, please, by all means, come out. I think it's a $10 cover. But next week is the big dogs, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I guess the 13th, 14th, 15th, I think, but it's the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I am in Arlington, Virginia on the 13th for two shows. Tickets are almost gone for those, so please get them. The 14th show that was just added, Sterling, Virginia, that's an outdoor show. So if that works for you, please come to that. And then the shows in Rockville, Maryland on the Saturday the 15th, I believe it's the 15th, are almost sold out. The first show sold out. The second one, I don't think there's a lot of tickets left. So if that one appeals to you, also those are outdoor shows. Get those now. Late show in Rockville. Okay, so that's those shows. And then, of course, I referenced it last week, but if you're anywhere near Hartford, Connecticut, Hartford Funny Bone, June 10th, Chris Lamberth opening up for me. Really, anything I can do to sell that show out I don't know if it's mandatory that I sell it out for my career, but it will be nothing but super helpful. So if you're, you know, I know Boston ain't close, but it ain't far. But I also know I have a lot of fans in the Boston area. Needless to say, it would be huge to it's limited capacity, but to get that place as full as possible would be great for me. There's no way just around that. I know I made a big case for it last week. So hopefully the ticket link, I believe, is now up on my site for all shows. And before getting on this podcast, I emailed 30 clubs and venues around the country. Fingers crossed that some of them reply. I'm giving them the best case that I can, which is I have a lot of fans. I was very successful last year, and I'm an excellent stand-up comedian. So I feel confident I will sell tickets in your city, and that they will also get a top-flight stand-up show and not just some social media influencer who 4 minutes into their set goes, so what else is happening, guys? And then the last thing is, sometime in the next week or two, I will be launching and promoting the Gemmy memberships thing, which is the, you know, like I think I described it last week, but it's the Patreon sort of thing, except I know the creators. They're creating a new company, and I just like working with them. They put on the Zoom shows that I did earlier this year, so I've just enjoyed working with them, and So that's why I chose them instead of just setting up a Patreon account, which obviously more people are familiar with Patreon, but this is the same thing, but with lots of stuff I'll be offering for very cheap. So when that goes up, by next week, I'm sure I'll have a link for it to the podcast if you don't see on social media stuff about it until then. But that's something to keep your eye out on, a lot of content. It's going to be a lot of work for me, but I hope it's good for everybody who likes my stuff, wants more of my stuff, will see a variety of my stuff. And also for people in cities and countries that I won't be making it to soon, hopefully, I don't want to say never, but possibly never. There will be like live monthly Q&As and live monthly stand-up shows and maybe different things. Maybe fucking, who knows, a Mike Lindell one-man show 1 month. You know, just the, whatever I can do to keep it engaging and worthwhile, because I'm one of those people who, you know, I don't – there's too much of a donation and support me kind of economy. And right now I figure I'm good at what I do and I'm trying to get gigs. The ideal thing for me, honestly, I don't need to be a millionaire from comedy. I know there's money to be had through advertising, podcasts, Patreon type things, but all I still want is a sketch comedy show and a stand-up tour. That's what I want out of my comedy career. And that would be more than enough money, more than enough notoriety, and more than enough of a platform to show what I can do. But right now, it's still a struggle to get gigs, to get my name out there. So because you guys have been so supportive and engaged, you know, I'm not trying to milk the cow. I want to give as much as I can, which is why I want to include monthly stand-up shows, movie reviews, all sorts of different things, bonus episodes, interviews with people as a sort of, oh, this is like, you know, this is more value than anybody else puts out there, because I, you know, I'm appreciative of your support. So I think this was pretty good. I think I've mainly kept mildly positive, somewhat funny. So you learned about Duchess. You gave me a great title, The 2019 Project. I talked about youth soccer in the state of Massachusetts for far too long. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, guys. I do appreciate you listening, as always. And I hope if you are not already checking out Making Podcasts Great Again, that you'll just head over there and give it a follow and listen to some episodes, because that's always fun. And also just give this one, if you're not in a position to buy or get anything. I am doing a lot of Mother's Day cameos this week. So obviously if you, they are always a hit. They're not cheap, but they always deliver, is what I would say. That is the consensus opinion. But if money's tight or you don't want to support anything else besides just listening to the show or watching some Twitter videos, I understand. But then just go give this one 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It costs you nothing. It takes you about, 1 minute if you even write a review. So there, you can always do something to support and promote without breaking the bank or even spending a single dollar. But if you have money, you know, albums, cameos, and the upcoming Jemmy platform for fans. So thanks for listening, guys. Have a good week. Get vaccinated if you haven't been vaccinated yet. Let's all get healthy. Let's do our part to get closer to herd immunity, which seems to be now not possible. So America worst, the America worst method, right? That's what Trump gave us. So have a good week. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next week. See you next Tuesday.